Time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome into another edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you on this Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. We're live and local broadcasting out of the Family Leisure Studios. Now at Family Leisure, they got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on. It's going on now through May 10th. It's the Battle of the Brands. Seven manufacturers all fighting for your business. Check it out today, tomorrow, maybe this weekend at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 54 degrees right now. Cool outside. Going to warm up to about 81 today. Sunny to partly cloudy sky. Should be overall a nice day. Same deal tomorrow and Thursday. Chance of some thunderstorms on Friday. Looks like a little bit less of a chance of the precipitation over the weekend. Still about a 55% chance on Saturday. Hour number one brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery. Made in Memphis, producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon, Honey Bell citrus vodka, Formula 10 gin, just some delicious drinks that you could put together at home, or you can head on down to the distillery bar at Old Dominic. It is fantastic. Award-winning craft spirits. Swing by, pregame cocktail, maybe a post-game or a post-event nightcap, whether you're heading down town for dinner, a sporting event, any type of entertainment, or just heading down to head to Beale Street. We'll make sure you top it off with one of those award-winning craft spirits from Old Dominic Distillery, 150 years in the making, starting with the Canale family's arrival in Memphis. But the revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. If you have not been down there, what are you waiting for? Take a tour, a guided tour, and taste testing of what they have to offer at Old Dominic Distillery. Come for the spirits, stay for the experience. We have a lot to experience today over the course of the next 3 hours. The NBA playoffs continue, and we had a couple of surprises last night. Also, today is the final day to get into the portal. If you are a collegiate athlete and yesterday, a former Memphis Tiger, maybe still a current Tiger. It depends on what happens in the portal. But Aaron Bradshaw has decided to jump into the portal kind of at the last second. We will discuss that on the program today. Connor O'Gara will join us at 7:25. The draft begins on Thursday. We'll talk to him about that and some spring football in the SEC. Frank Bonner at 8:25 on the Memphis Tigers football team and their spring session, which wrapped up over the weekend. Mickey Barker on golf at 9:05, and we'll have Humdinger's trivia as well. We'll take your calls and your texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. That's your lineup for today. So kick back, relax, and enjoy 3 hours of scintillating sports talk. How are you?
I am very good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That makes one of us. Jay Ham, are you okay? Are you good?
I'm solid.
Okay, so two.
Solid.
Solid as a rock. Good.
There you go.
Right?
Solid as a rock.
Solid as a rock.
Old school.
Two out of the three are feeling good. I'm feeling horrible.
Sinuses messing with you?
No. Not the sinuses. No problem with the sinuses. Yesterday, I had the cortisone shot in my back, and doctor's great. Go over to Campbell Clinic. I'm like, it's feeling a little better, but not feeling great yet. I'm just waiting. How long does it take for the cortisone shot to really kick in? I've had some of these like flashes of pain, not in the spot where the shot was, but like lower. And so I'm a little concerned that maybe after all, it's going to be the hips and not the back, because the hips don't lie, somebody once said. And I'm getting older. I don't know if you guys know that, but you know, you don't want to have the hip replacement or any of that stuff. You really don't. So, but you also don't want to have back surgery. So I don't know. I'm a little concerned about that. And then to top it off, yesterday, we have three cats. Look, I'm allergic to animals, but my wife would kick me out the door before she'd kick out these three little animals. We've got a little tiny cat, Little tiny cat was lethargic, wasn't doing much. So she brought it into the vet and ends up being, it was constipated. Okay? After it was all said and done, over $700 for the bill. Let me tell you something. We talk about the medical field with humans. We talk about mechanics, right? You know, the old Seinfeld episode, you know, it's a Johnson rod. You know, you don't know unless you know cars. Okay, that's fine. Well, the vets, man, they can charge anything they want. Instead of a pill, you're telling me there's no medicine, no pill that you could have given the cat so he'd have the scorch when you brought him back home and it would come out of his system? Over $700? Are you kidding me?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't have cats.
Well, yes, but once they're there forever, you know, you get used to them a little bit. I love animals.
I understand people who like cats.
I love animals. I never had an animal growing up. My sister really allergic, and I'm allergic.
He's not even priority on the pecking order in his house right now. So.
Oh, no.
You're
I'm
behind
not even
cats. You got a real problem.
I'm behind cats. Then
dogs, one thing.
Then cats, the old ball and chain, for whatever reason, pulled the plug out of my iPad that was charging overnight for the show. So I don't have the iPad today. I'm just like, it's got to be a good luck day today because it was bad yesterday. It was bad overall. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be good today because it was not good yesterday. But again, those vets, man. There's a vet listening. Tell me. I mean, come on. There had to be some medicine you could have given the cat instead of like going in there and just like taking it out physically. And then I don't know if the cat will be okay now. One cat came home, was starving because everything was taken out of its stomach. Came and started eating everything. Hopefully the thing will poop now. If he's clogged up again, I ain't going back there for 700 more. You know how much it costs to get these three cats we have in our house?
Really, they could have just told you what they did, but you know they need that extra 700 for you in return. So.
Three cats, $0. They were rescues.
Right.
My kids found them. I told my kids, I'm cutting you off from the inheritance if you ever bring another cat in. There's no more. We had a dog. It was a beautiful dog. Passed away.
If you keep paying $700 to the vet, there will be no inheritance anyway.
There will be none. So you guys know. You, that's a rip. I'm sorry. That is a ripoff.
This is why I don't do pets anymore, and I love pets.
I know.
It's the same thing. I had a couple of dogs, and it was like, yo, this is a child.
Over $700. That's gambling money. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, that's the plight of Gaston on a Monday. But it's a Tuesday now. So here we go, baby. So yesterday we were talking about Aaron Bradshaw. We were up against the deadline for the portal. This is to go into the portal, not necessarily the teams have to be fill their roster by the 21st. It's when players go into the portal, they have to officially do it by the 21st, and then they can be in the portal forever. And there's teams that may not even pick up certain players, right? And they're lingering in the portal. Well, we wondered about Bradshaw because we hadn't heard any news. Well, Bradshaw is officially in the portal. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean 100% he's not coming back to Memphis. But more than likely, what happened, in my opinion, as we've talked about a number of times, Penny offered all the eight players that had eligibility to come back. Two took him up on it. Right? Two. Thedford, local guy, Wharton, project. The other five left. I think all of them have new homes, if I'm not mistaken. And the one we were waiting for, the sixth one, was Bradshaw. So Bradshaw goes in yesterday. So that means six of the eight decided to leave Memphis. Did they leave Memphis strictly because they figure they can get more on the open market, which I don't know if it's true or not? Or was there a combination? The last season was bad? I have no idea. But I'm thinking with Bradshaw, like I had said yesterday, I'm sure Penny said, listen, we're offering you to come back. He had the situation where he had to fine him. He talked about that during the season. But obviously, they patched up differences, or I don't think he would have offered him to come back. But I'm guessing whatever it was that they brought him in, how much money it was less. And so he looked at it, thought about it, took his time, and now he jumps into the portal. Now, if there's no other offers that go out there, if Memphis hasn't by that time picked up other guys, other bigs, because they have to do that, they don't have any bigs, then maybe he still comes back to Memphis. again, but I doubt it. Most of the time you get the into the portal, you're gone. But we saw a couple of guys already this offseason jump into the portal and then go back to their respective schools. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's weird to wait this long, obviously. But at the same time, his agent has been having conversations, and I would think kind of knows what is out there compared to what Memphis was offering him. So for him to now go into the portal, I would think that that means the agent believes there is better offers out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. One of his old schools, Kentucky, might be getting desperate. They can't sign anybody.
No.
But, yeah, it's...
Maybe even LSU. You know, they've only signed one guy so far under Will Wade.
We talked yesterday. Somebody texted in and said, you know, is he worth it? Well, I mean, it depends what that number is. But, again, Memphis doesn't have a whole lot of people on its roster right now. So, I think Aaron Bradshaw would have been fine to have around. Not, you don't want to think that he's the star player and going to carry you, but for a roster that only has a few guys on it, if another one does leave, I mean, they've got to start filling these spots with somebody. So,
prediction, he goes to LSU. That's my prediction. LSU signed their first player under Will Wade yesterday. They got the whole staff. They got all kinds of money. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up there. Just, you know, hey, let's bring in a 7-foot-1 guy. Might not even be the starter. Just bring in that guy. So Memphis yesterday, according to reports, were entertaining a wing, a 6'7 wing. Tylik Weeks. Visited Memphis yesterday. Had visited Ole Miss already last week and some other schools that are on his list, including some power conference schools like Ole Miss. So you're battling Ole Miss, among others. This guy is a pretty good player, but again, he's a 6'7 wing. And right now, they better find 6'10 bigs and find their point guard. There's still plenty of time. There's no desperation. They've picked up some decent pieces, but they got a whole team, a whole roster still to fill. I mean, right now, with their 7 guys or whatever it is, it's not enough. You got 3 of them are freshmen, for goodness sakes. But you haven't addressed bigs. You haven't addressed the point guard. So that's where Memphis is. They continue to be listed among many teams on the list of many of these recruits. Everywhere you turn, there's a list that comes out, and here's Jimmy Smith, and he's got 15 schools listed, and Memphis is among them. So obviously Memphis is putting out the effort, but when it comes down to it, it's about the money. So we'll see what happens there. Yesterday,
the Weeks kid is a big-time scorer. He's not a shooter, but he's a
big-time
scorer.
He's the North Alabama guy, right?
Tylik Weeks is from Southern Miss.
Oh, that's right. He's the Southern Miss guy.
Almost 20 points per game last season. I mean, he is a big-time scorer, but from what I saw, people believe, I think it is between kind of Memphis and Ole Miss. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But, I don't care what – you know, if you're playing at the Division I level and scoring 20 points a game, you got some ability, that's for sure.
Well, no question about it. And that's why they were looking at the Garland kid. It was Garland from San Jose State, who basically cut him off their list because he's had several offers from big-time power conference schools. But who was the guy I was thinking of? North Alabama. That was over the weekend.
I don't remember what his name is.
I think they had brought that guy in, or they were trying to bring him in or do a Zoom interview. I mean, a lot of it's going on right now. No, I you don't poo-poo a 20-point score. But here's the thing. It's interesting. Southern Miss. Has Memphis just flip-flopped with Southern Miss? Like, football's now, it's the Southern Miss team and the other guys that Charles Huff brought in.
I guess so. They just pretty much swap places.
So why don't you bring some basketball players in, too? We flip-flop with Southern Miss.
If you're going to go Southern Miss, though, don't go far back and go get Larry Eustace. We don't need no kind of problem.
Hey, at one time, Southern Miss football, I mean, Charles did a great job kind of resurrecting that program. But under Jeff Bauer, the Black and Blue Bowl, the old Memphis battles with Southern Miss, gosh, Southern Miss was good under Bauer. This was certainly sad news for Solo Ball. He will miss the entire 2026-27 season because of wrist surgery. One of the Connecticut guards, we talked yesterday about Demery coming back and Mullins coming back. As Dan Hurley's just reloading. He's got some recruits that have come in from the portal. But he loses out on a veteran guard, Solo Ball, who did a real nice job in integrating with that star-studded team that was led by Alex Caravan, who's now gone. And they made a great run. Came up a little short, but made a great run. But they will not have Solo Ball, so he will be out for the entire 2026-2027 season. The Grizzlies yesterday actually won a tiebreaker. Ladies and gentlemen, some good news from the Grizzlies organization. They will have the 16th pick via the Phoenix Suns in the June NBA draft. We know that they will have a lottery pick. We just don't know where they will pick. That'll be determined on May 10th. And we know that they have the 32nd pick, which is early in the second round. But they'll have the 16th pick in the draft for sure. We know that.
Yeah, in that three-team tiebreaker, they needed to root for either Phoenix or Orlando, and Phoenix was the winner of that. So, again, in a draft in which most people believe it's one of the deepest and best drafts in quite some time, 16th, you should be able to build. There should be some really good players available at number 16 overall, and hopefully the Grizzlies can find one there along with their lottery pick and add a couple of really good players to this roster. I was just looking through pulled up various mock drafts out there just to see kind of who would be at number 16 that people have, for what it's worth. Koa Pete was one of those. Isaiah Evans in one of those. Bennett Sturts, Jaden Quaintance, Yaxel Lendeborg. That's some of the names that I saw at the 16th pick. So just kind of the range of type players that will still probably be there, at least some of them, around that number 16 pick.
That's not too bad.
No, we know how good this draft is. I mean, middle of the first round in a draft like this, you should have very much an opportunity, or you are able to use it to move up or do some other things. That pick will have a great deal of value because of how deep this draft is.
I agree 100%. Just to match you, popped up a mock draft just to have fun. They got Memphis staying at 6, taking Keaton Vogler. And then at 16, you mentioned Isaiah Evans from Duke. Wouldn't be too bad.
No, I'd either. Quaintance, I'm a little leery of because of the injury situation.
Me too.
Especially when you're talking Grizzlies. But I would be fine with those other guys for sure.
I think you're going to have a lot of options, like you said. Package and move up. Look, if they get lucky in their top four, then it's going to be one of Peterson, Boozer, DeBonsa, or the kid from Carolina.
Caleb Wilson.
Now, Peterson's more of a combo guard. The other three are not guards. So it'd be interesting. If you're in that position, you're more than likely not getting that point guard. If you are 5 through 9.
They will not be 5.
They can't get the 5. So they're going to be 1 through 4?
Or 6 through 10.
6 through 10. Okay. If you are 6 through 10, now if you're 10, you could lose out on those point guards. But if you're 6, 7, 8, more than likely you're going to go point guard. So that would mean at 16, I know people talk about best player available. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it's not. And I think if you take a point guard, let's say you have the 7th pick, and you take one of those guys that we've been talking about for the whole season, and then you're sitting at 16, don't you look for a big? Not necessarily a center, but somebody that roams the paint, that can help out rebounding, that's a physical specimen. Don't you have to, let's say the next best guy available was a point guard. You don't take another point guard. Although, what was the year Minnesota took like 3 point guards?
That was the year that Steph came in. It was Johnny Flynn, Ricky Rubio. Yeah.
And somebody out. They took like 3 point guards in the draft. They're like, what are you doing? You don't. That's when best player available goes out the window. Unless it's the next Michael Jordan. But it won't be at 16. So then you got to go position, right?
Well, it would. You would at that point eliminate point guard and say anybody else.
Yes. Okay. Like,
doesn't have to be a big. I mean, they can look for wing scoring.
Right. It's just you eliminate the point guard. Yeah. I mean, we're all on the same page here. It's like even if that point guard was, he's the best guy. Well, he's not going to be a great, great guy, or he would have went in the top 5 or top 10. But even if he's, we got him marked a little bit higher than the other guy. No, you go with the wing, go with the big. But I would, my preference would be if you keep both those picks for the Grizzlies to walk out of there with the point guard of their future and a big to help in case Edie goes down again. I mean, you're not getting a giant like Edie, I don't think, but you can get a big.
It's definitely a priority.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Shooting doesn't hurt, but certainly I think you got to be concerned about the Edie injury moving forward, and I think you would do something in the draft. And then that 32nd pick is not too shabby. That's not too shabby. You could, and certainly the Grizzlies' history picking second-round guys has been pretty good. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they package and try to move up. If a team says, okay, you're giving me the 7 and the 16, and we're going to give you the 3, or we're going to give you the 2. I mean, it's not out of the question that could happen if you really zero on that guy and you know, okay, we have to have DeBonsa. We have to have Peterson. We have to have Boozer, whatever the case may be. We got a lot more NBA to talk about. We'll talk about the playoff games. Last night, 3 games, 2 stunners. Also, some news off the court involving coaches. The Defensive Player of the Year, a shocker yesterday with Wemby winning. Just kidding. We will discuss that on the program. Also, some news involving downtown Memphis with the state of Tennessee and the Grizzlies and the search for the new lease and the battle for everything that's going on down there. And it is a battle. We will discuss that later on in the show. We got Humdinger's trivia that'll come your way at approximately 8:05. Again, the first hour of the program is brought to you by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery at 305 South Front Street. The Old Dominic Distillery will be at Memphis Zoo Roar and Pour April 24th. Mark it down on your calendar. Experience the Tennessee Whiskey Trail at Roar and Pour at the zoo. Roar and Pour features Old Dominic Distillery for an evening of tastings, music, and after-hours access to the Memphis Zoo. Whiskey lovers celebrate Tennessee's rich distilling tradition. It's Old Dominic Distillery and the Memphis Zoo. The Roar and Pour event, April 24th. When we come back, Connor O'Gara joins us. We'll talk SEC, we'll talk spring football, and we'll talk NFL draft. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:27, the time, hour number one here on Sports 56 Mornings. The NFL draft begins on Thursday. I am one who just loves watching as much as I can, although I'm going to miss a bunch of it this weekend. I do like sitting in front of the television, watching the draft. I think there's some drama to it. Others, not so much. All I know is a lot of lives will be changed in the next few days. And it's time to talk about what's going on with the draft, what's going on with SEC spring football as well. We do it every other Tuesday with Connor O'Gara, who joins us now on the program. And for those who do not know, Connor O'Gara is the host of the OG Kickoff. It is on Next Round Live. You can follow him on Twitter at CJ O'Gara. He joins us now. Good morning, Connor.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing great. For those who don't know, maybe they weren't with us the last couple of times you've been on the show, tell everybody about the OG Kickoff and Next Round Live.
Yeah, so the podcast that was known as the Started Out South podcast basically just changed into the OG Kickoff. We we were able to partner with the Next Round, and basically like everything is the same in terms of where you subscribe to the OG Kickoff. The only thing that's changed is that we're now under the Next Round on YouTube, and we're getting to, you know, we're partnering with them, so we get, you know, the ability to use all their social media platforms as well. And so it's been a great partnership so far, very, very early on. But we're excited about the direction and excited that we have partners that want us to kind of keep doing what we're doing.
Well, you do the job so well, man. It's good to see that you'll be on even more outlets as we move along in this lifetime. Things are going very well for our good friend Connor O'Garrigan. He joins us every other Tuesday. All right, we got a lot to talk about. The draft we'll get to in a second. Spring football, I'm not sure. I assume you keep your finger on the pulse, but maybe not as thorough as obviously the regular season. But nowadays, Connor, it seems like a lot of schools are getting away from the actual spring game. They'll have a spring practice session or some other thing that coincides with a fan fest. What is it in the SEC? How many teams are still having a full-fledged spring game?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you. And that just tells you everything you need to know, because spring games are not just available on television now. I mean, there's I think two or three that were available on television. But other than that, it's, you know, you have to be there in person to see this. So you're looking up like random videos from what fans are tweeting out, or you're like, you're going to the team accounts and you're realizing that they're only putting certain things out. It's a mess. It's still a mess. And it doesn't need to be this way, because the spring portal is not existent anymore. Like, we got away from this, and I could understand a little bit of the coach's standpoint before of like, oh, we don't want you to see this second string receiver that's really emerged and has had an awesome camp. Like, I get it, but now we don't have this anymore. So what, are you going to like file this intel away and be like, oh, I'm going to turn on the Troy spring game and I'm going to be able to come back to this next year when we need a receiver? Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's just not the way that this has to work. So yeah, it's frustrating, because the amount of content that comes out of spring now is not what it used to be. It's just not. And you have to kind of figure out, like, all right, what do I actually care about? Do I care about Byron Brown having a terrible spring game performance? Probably not. Like, it's stuff that we used to overreact to, and now if we overreact to it, it's kind of just on us.
So now we get, rather than that type of stuff, we get these online battles between Alabama fans and Indiana's defensive coordinator. It's that much more entertaining stuff than spring football.
You know, Eli, so I don't know if you guys have done like a full breakdown of this dynamic yet, but basically, like, for those who miss what happened, Ty Simpson went on the podcast that the Downs brothers host, Caleb and Josh Downs, and basically said, like, yeah, you know, like, Indiana didn't do anything complicated. Like, we knew everything that they were gonna do, and like, we just couldn't do anything because they're in the right place, right time, all the time. And then Brian Haynes, the Indiana defensive coordinator who won the Broyles Award, basically was like, treated as the biggest flight in the world. And he said that. It said, like, schematically, like, we were doing things, like, we knew everything you were doing, and blah, blah, blah. I think Brian Haynes took it a little bit too personally. I think Ty Simpson was actually paying IU a compliment by saying, look, we could not get those weaknesses in their defense and what they were trying to do. And they were always where we just couldn't gain an inch against them. It's the ultimate compliment, I think, to pay someone to be able to say that and to be like, yo, like, it wasn't schematic or anything like that that was that crazy. They were just that much better and that much more disciplined. So I thought it was kind of a lot of hot air about nothing, if I'm being 100% honest. But you know what? I get why, at the same time, an Indiana coach is going to see any opportunity to be able to try and get a dub.
Well, some people are very, very sensitive, right? I completely agree with your assessment of it. How do you think Cignetti looked at that? Like, you think he's happy that a coach on his staff came out and said that?
I don't know that he cares that much.
Really?
Like, yeah, I don't really think that that's... He's kind of like you're with us or against us type of guy from that standpoint. Now, I don't expect him to encourage that sort of thing. Do I think that he's going to reprimand his Broyles Award-winning coach? No, because, you know, Brian Haynes doubled down. He doubled down after the Alabama fan reaction. And if he had had some sort of talking to after that first post from Cignetti, then there's no way that he would have been doubling down on that. But he's like, yeah, stand on business, stand up for what you believe. Cignetti's the same guy himself who's, you know, come out and said, like, look, you know, like, I went the atypical path. I didn't follow the path through Alabama that everybody else follows.
Right.
I think he has always had something kind of against Alabama since he left there, if we're being 100% honest, because Nick Saban didn't promote him in the way that he felt he should have been promoted. And I think that he doesn't necessarily have a problem with being able to kind of, you know, hammer it home that Indiana just totally blew out Alabama.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of, because it's Alabama, it's the big, you know, one of those powers, and you're, even though Indiana wins the championship, like, it's still, like, always kind of battling that thing. I think Cignetti probably likes it a little bit.
Well,
just keep poking the bear a little bit more.
I only brought it up because some coaches, I think more than not, basically say, I will do all the talking for this program. I don't want my coordinators doing interviews. Maybe you meet them one time before the season starts and that's it. But I don't know what I mean, you and Cignetti are beer brothers, so I don't know. You know him a lot more better than I do.
Look, I wish I knew him in that capacity. I did get him free beer for life. People forget that.
But, yes.
Look, yeah, I think that he is closer to that. Based on everything that I've heard, like, their assistants are – it is much different from an access standpoint. Like, not to get into the nitty gritty of it. Yes, you're exactly right. There are a lot of coaches in college football that are like, their assistants are not going to be speaking to the media at all. Mm-hmm. And like, they're very much probably more of that variety than, you know, like, hey, like, you know, I remember when I was at Nebraska, we used to be able to talk to like every assistant coach after a game during the Bo Pelini era, which is kind of a wild thing to look back on and be like, oh, we're talking to John Papuchis after this game in which Nebraska just allowed 45 points to UCLA. Well, that's kind of surprising. But yeah, he's definitely more of that variety. I'm sure there was a message of like, hey, let's not make this a regular thing, but you just won the Bros Award, you just won a national championship, and we don't exactly like Alabama in this building. You do your thing.
I do think that since COVID, paranoia running amok among coaches. I do believe that. Ever since that, I think they are paranoid more than they ever were before.
I think there's something to be said for that. And, you know, like, what was it when it was Nebraska who was having like the illegal COVID workouts and stuff like that, where they were like at a park and someone ratted them out for it. I mean, just like bizarre things that coaches are, you know, always obsessed with that. Like, you talk about like media access and whatnot. Go talk to Georgia about what it's like to be able to see practice. You can hear practice because you can hear Kirby Smart yelling if you stand outside of the indoor facility. But you can't see. You want to see anything, buddy? Good luck.
You can see cars driving really fast once practice is over. Players getting out of there at about 85, 100 mile an hour. You know, it's stuff like that.
Got places to go.
The subject of this, or the guy, I guess, who kicked this all off in Ty Simpson. It's amazing to me as we go into this draft of like the various opinions that are out there, the range of opinions on what he will be. What do you think of Ty Simpson at the NFL level, and where do you think he ends up getting drafted?
I don't think he gets picked in the first round. I would be a lot more comfortable with him going in the second round. I do think he can have a path to success. He obviously needs to be like one of these guys that goes to the right place. Like, if he ends up going to the Cardinals, I'm just going to roll my eyes and go, oh boy, this is not going to end well. And there are a lot of spots that I think he would end up in that would make me go, ugh, that doesn't make me feel particularly good. Like, obviously, if he goes to the Rams or something like that and gets to learn alongside Matthew Stafford and kind of be the quarterback in waiting and learn under Sean McVay, yeah, of course, Ty Simpson's going to be set up for success. I think that it's a bit dismissive of college football and just reps in general to be like, oh, he's a bona fide first round guy. Like, there's no doubt about it. There are good things about Ty Simpson's game, and I think that he thinks the way that an NFL quarterback should think. I think that's really, really good. I also think that 15 starts is not that much. And we keep being told time and time again, reps matter. Reps matter more and more and more. Like, these guys that are getting to the NFL level and having success early, the Jaden Daniels, the Bo Nixes of the world, even my guy Caleb Williams stepping up last year, those guys all had so many reps at the college level, and we can't just pretend like that's nothing. So Ty Simpson, in my opinion, with the sample size he showed down the stretch in the second half of the season, did not look like a finished product, whether that was physical or just because reps matter. I don't know, and I think that an NFL team taking him in the first round would probably be ignoring too many of those obvious cues, because those guys play in the first round. If you get picked in the first round, you're playing year one, and I don't think he's quite ready for that.
Is there anybody, and I know there's not a lot that will be available for the draft this year from the SEC as far as quarterbacks. Nussmeier is certainly a name that has been brought up, But whether it's Nussmeier or somebody else or even somebody around the country, Connor, do you think there's somebody flying under the radar at that position that is going to be a find for somebody later in the draft?
Yeah, I think Nussmeier is the guy. I think Nussmeier is the guy that I would be like, that's really intriguing. Now, I know a lot of people are intrigued by Taylen Green, and they love the measurables because mm-hmm. the dude is 6'6". He ran like a 4.3 40 at the combine. I mean, Taylen Green is a very, very unique athlete at the quarterback position. I think he's got a lot of issues that would need to be overcome that, like, look, I don't think that 2-10 in Arkansas was just the byproduct of his play. Like, he got them in some better spots than they should have been in. I also don't think it was a coincidence that they collapsed so late in some of these games. And so he's like one of those guys that I would love to see him in a developmental situation. But Nussmeier's the guy, man. Like, I picked LSU to win a national championship last year because I thought Nussmeier was that dude. And then he ends up playing the entire year hurt. He shouldn't have been out there. And I think if it had been a different set of circumstances for him, for Brian Kelly, I don't think he would have played. I don't think he would have pushed through it. Instead, he hurt his draft value, and it changed the trajectory of LSU's entire program. He's the guy I'd be willing to take a chance on some point, like later day two. And I just think there's too much good stuff there with his game, the way that he sees the field. Some issues he needs to work through with some of his reads. But Nussmeier's the guy that I'd take a flyer on.
Who are maybe the one or two guys who you 100% believe will be great players in the NFL out of this draft?
Reuben Bain, Caleb Downs, like point blank. Like, if I'm betting the house on any, like, two guys that, and I'm not talking like Hall of Fame level. I'm talking like multiple Pro Bowls, maybe like all pro type. Reuben Bain, Caleb Downs. Those, for my money, are the two best football players in this draft. Better than Jeremiah Love, better than even Fernando Mendoza. I think that those two guys, I'm like, let's not overthink this. If one of those two guys falls out of the top 10, I think that's going to be the thing that makes me the most mad on Thursday night. I've been kind of thinking about that too. And it's weird because, like, I don't know if you guys have talked about this from an SEC standpoint. You're like, Monsieur Delane, is he going to be like the first guy picked?
Right, we did.
Like, you know, the SEC has had a top 10 pick in every single draft, you know, since the streak began in 2007. Last time they had him was 2006. It's like, maybe he's going to fall outside of the top 10, but there's not like that guy in the SEC. And I think that Reuben Bain is just that dude. I don't care about his arm length. I think that he overcomes all of that. And then Caleb Downs, man, like, if you're overthinking his ability to play football, yes, maybe you're going to have to find kind of a more specific role, but he does everything. He does everything at such a high level, and those instincts you cannot teach. So those would be the two guys where, like, if they flame out and they're bust, or if they're like only one contract guys in the NFL, I'll be absolutely stunned.
Well, I'm hoping that Caleb Downs or even Bain, but sir, I'm hoping he does fall out of the top 10 because I hope he falls to the Cowboys at number 12.
Ugh, look, I think that there are people that are speculating that the Cowboys could like trade up for Jeremiah Love or something like that. Like they could be set up to do something like that. If those two guys fall out of the top 10 or one of those two guys falls out of the top 10, the NFL gets what it gets. And you know what? I'll be so frustrated and so mad, and it'll be just like when Brock Bowers slipped in the draft. And we're like, guys, what are we doing? This is the best tight end in the history of college football. If you're telling me a side-by-side photo of him and Rob Gronkowski scared you away, or you don't like his hairline, what, like, get out of here with that noise. But too many of the NFL people, they overlook this stuff. They just dismiss what college reps actually are. So, yeah, look, if he falls to your Cowboys, that'll be a blessing. It'll be the steal of the draft.
Yeah, they're trying to find something that's wrong. Like, they're uncovering every stone and, going through every crack and crevice, trying to find, there's got to be something, and they look for something that's wrong. Maybe just, like, cherish all the things that are positive about that player and go with that player. Go with your instincts. We're being joined by Connor O'Gara on the Sissy's Log Cabin Listener Lines, the host of the OG Kickoff on Next Round Live. What did you think of the comments that Casey Concepcion made about his status, that he's the best receiver available? How good do you think he'll be?
I love Casey Concepcion. He's the guy I find myself rooting for. My brother and I were just texting about him the other day and how, like, we're both Bears fans. Like, we realize he's not going to the Bears or anything like that. So we were talking about what good landing spots would be for him. Just like a guy that we want to root for. If you know his story, if you saw that play out at the NFL Combine, like his issue with stuttering and public speaking in general, and kind of being someone that was outspoken about that and could be a really good advocate and could do a lot of great things with his platform. Like, that's kind of separate from the football stuff. The football stuff is all there. He moves at a different speed, and I have no problem with him coming out and saying that in a draft that, look, I think he has some room for interpretation at receiver. Jordan Tyson has banged up a lot of the last 2 years, and I think that he's a really intriguing player, has some ways to go. I love Carnell Tate. Like, Carnell Tate was like the contested catch king. And I don't think that playing alongside Jeremiah Smith always showcased the best of those unbelievable abilities. I would take him as my best receiver, but I don't have any problem with Casey Concepcion coming out and saying this. This is a guy who's a 3-year starter at the college level and did awesome things this past year for A&M. Just got decent quarterback play. A year removed from having a sophomore season that was totally lost at NC State because Grayson McCall got hurt. Goes to A&M and is a big reason why they made the college football playoffs. So, like, if he gets taken in like the middle of the first round, I'm not going to be stunned. I think he is that dude. And I think in a day and age in which we're getting away from, oh, every receiver has to be 6'2 and 200 pounds and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that you just put him on your team and watch all the different things he can do for you.
What SEC team will have the most guys picked in the first round?
It ain't going to be Bama, because Bama, right, I think, might only have one, and it might only be Caden Proctor.
Tennessee?
You know, it might be Tennessee with Colton Hood and Jermod McCoy. That's crazy. That's crazy because that defense was, as we say on the OG kickoff, basura, which is trash in Spanish. that defense was a tough watch. And now, obviously, Jermod McCoy was injured the entire year. He had the ACL last January. He didn't play this season, so it's kind of an unfair thing to say. But, like, yeah, they could end up having two players taken and could end up having the most players in the SEC. Now, A&M is a good candidate as well. I'm hoping, like, Eli, you talk about the guys you're hoping that fall to your Cowboys. I am hoping that Cassius Howell, who I thought was the best pass rusher in the SEC, I hope he falls to my Chicago Bears late in the first round. So you could have, multiple players from A&M as well. Like, A&M had the most players invited to the NFL Combine this year. They had 13 guys that were invited to the Combine. So, like, A&M is probably the even safer bet. But, like, Tennessee having two players off of that defense, it is just kind of funny to look at that and just compare it to the season they had on that side of the ball.
Last thing, last minute, Jeremiah Love has been one of those big topics that ESPN's running out of topics, I guess. It's either Simpson or Jeremiah Love. Is Jeremiah Love, if he selected top five, is that too high?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think he needs to go to a situation that's got an offensive line that's ready to compete. And like, going to the Cardinals is not an offensive line that's ready to compete. It's just not. And I'm not one of those guys that like poo-poos the value of the running back position. I think that when you hit it big and like you get one of these guys early and they're awesome for you, it makes a world of difference. Like, I really, really do. Even like, you know, early Zeke Elliott was a great example of like a guy that in my opinion was worth it because the Cowboys were set up on the offensive line. If you don't have those pieces in place, we saw with Ashton Jeancey last year, like you're not going to be able to overcome that. And even a guy that's considered special cannot do that. So, again, like another one of these guys who I think is a phenomenal player still needs to end up in the right situation, or else we're going to be looking at this draft going like, why did you spend all that money on a guy that is being held to like, you know, 2 yards per carry in his rookie season, who just feels more frustrated than anything else?
The great Connor O'Gara, the great Hoosier, and the big Chicago Bears fan, the host of the OG Kickoff with Next Round Live. Check out a great podcast. When's the next one drop?
We had the next one that just dropped this morning. We did SEC teams, karaoke songs for SEC teams with my guy Chris Gordy. A lot of fun.
Karaoke songs for SEC teams. Got to check that out. Make sure to listen to Connor every other Tuesday right here with us on Sports 56 Mornings. Follow him on Twitter at CJ O'Gara. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Gentlemen, appreciate it.
Thanks, Connor. Karaoke songs for SEC teams.
Interesting.
I'll have to think about that one. I'll check out the podcast first. We'll take a timeout. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
That's me in the corner.
I was thinking during the break about the podcast topic with Connor O'Gara on the OG kickoff, and he said karaoke songs for SEC teams. And like right away, all I could think of was Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55 for Georgia. I think it's perfect. JM likes that one. I'd have to think about the other ones, but that one came right to mind. Yesterday, the Memphis Tigers, we'll talk to Frank Bonner at 8:25 about Tigers football. They signed a player out of the portal, J.J. Clayton. He spent his redshirt freshman season last year in junior college at Garden City Community College. J.J. Clayton, an addition to Memphis Tiger football after the spring session wrapped up. Of course, you'll have some incoming freshmen that will be there in August, those that were not early enrollees and that were with the team since January. It'll be an interesting offseason with workouts and all the things that they have to do to be prepared, ready to go for the season. We'll talk to Frank about that. But I can't wait. I always can't wait for football anyway. I know the summer, the best weather of the year normally. You want to enjoy it, although I think fall's the best weather personally. But the summer is great. Things are alive. And I'm always rushing through the summer. I want to get back to football and then the start of a new basketball season. And that's why maybe life is moving so quickly, is because once it starts to be a bad year for a team, you're like, all right, on to the next year. Right, JM?
You just completely write out the rest of that sports calendar. You want to get to the other end of
it. You do. Yeah. You start counting the days, the months, or whatever, to the next year and the next season for your teams. I don't remember that rush when I was young, but certainly now it's like, hey, man, come on. Can't wait to fall. I want to see what this Memphis football team can do. Nobody knows right now. I mean, I don't even know if Coach Huff and his staff knows exactly what this team is capable of doing. They'll practice in August. They'll prepare. They'll get out in the football field in Vegas. They'll be playing at the Raiders Stadium. What's that now? Who's the sponsor of that Raiders Stadium?
That's Allegiant.
Allegiant.
It's Allegiant. So they'll be playing at Allegiant. Unless Allegiant goes under with all the the problems they're having with fuel. I mean, I think Spirit Airline might be in trouble. But Allegiant out there in Las Vegas on week zero. And we'll see. You know, that might not be the end-all, be-all, but it's game one. And you want to see what type of team is going to come out there. Like I said, and I'll say it again, and even though I have been to practices and I've seen more than a lot of people have seen, I haven't seen everything, is anybody who tells you right now that this team is going 10-2 or this team is going 6-6, you don't know. You just don't know. That's why guys like Phil Steele, who do such a great job with the Preview magazine, that thing will be out. When's it usually come out? Early June?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure
later,
exactly
right?
What it is, when exactly he gets that out.
But he'll be talking to the coach, and you know, as long as the coach is transparent, and they usually are with the magazine guys, I'll find out a little bit more. But how do you put a preview together? And this is not just Memphis.
They usually get those out like right before media day sometimes. Like you said, around June.
Oh, I think it's, I mean, media day is like July. No, right. These things are, Phil's is out early.
Yeah, okay.
Brett's listening. He probably knows the exact date when these things come out, these magazines. Seriously, they come out relatively early. But I remember we had him on last year and he said that he had to wait because of so many changes with the portal. And that will be an annual thing. But anyway, J.J. Clayton, Memphis football, a new addition, a linebacker. Also, tomorrow we'll talk draft via the perspective of the Tennessee Titans with our friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press in Tennessee. And I'll ask her about the Dan Patrick news from yesterday. It didn't get much fanfare. I didn't see Schefter didn't report it. And all. We know that they're going to get a Super Bowl sooner than later in Nashville with that new stadium. Dan Patrick says, sign, seal, deliver, 2030. So I'm assuming he means, does he mean the 29 season? and then you play it in 2030? Or does he mean the 2030 season played in 2031? Either way, he says, Nashville, Super Bowl, it's coming up, signed, sealed, delivered. So I'll ask Teresa about that tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean, how many are already on the docket?
It's already, they already have, that's the next one available. It's the 2030 season.
So 2031 would be,
because they're, they always are 3 years out.
That's what I thought.
Basically, and so, and that fits the, I mean, I think most people assume that that's probably about, because it's usually about 2 years after these new stadiums open. They give them a couple years to make sure everything's good. They got the whole thing. And then they give the Super Bowls to these cities with those stadiums.
Okay, so they just played in Santa Clara. 27 is in Inglewood. Wow, they go from Santa Clara to Inglewood. And that's SoFi, right? 28, they're back in Atlanta. 29, they're in Vegas. Just mentioned Allegiant Stadium. And then you're right, 2030, nothing yet. And again, when they're saying the year, Santa Clara's 2026. So it was the 25 season played in 26. Inglewood, 26 season played in 27. Atlanta, 27 played in 28. Vegas, 28 played in 29. And then, so wait a minute. So that would be the, it would be the 29 season, wouldn't it? Santa Clara was this year, right? It was the 25 season played in 26.
Right.
So Inglewood's 26 played in 27. Atlanta 27 played in 28. Vegas 28 played in 29.
Yeah, I guess it'd be 20, yeah, with 29.
Yeah, so it'd be the 29 season played in 2030. I mean, that's right around the corner.
The Titans Stadium is opening in 27 or 28?
I think 27.
Yeah, so yeah, because that would be the, so that would still be 2 years after it's open. But normally, like, that's kind of their thing, is the 2 year people have talked about.
Yes.
The stadium's open, give them basically two seasons to figure everything out, then get the Super Bowl.
It makes sense. I mean, they're cruising right along with the
construction of that stadium. Pretty, yeah, that would have to be open at 27. There's no way to take 20, because that thing is, yeah, they're very far along on that thing. So, yeah, that makes sense.
They're hauling tail, as they say. Folks, take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on, one-on-one expert coaching. In other words, you're going to become a better basketball player, a better shooter specifically. They have the facility. They have the technology. You're going to get the instant feedback with the analytics and the coaching, and you're going to have fun doing so. That's where the gamification comes into play. They got the 50,000-square-foot facility in Cordova. It has two NBA regulation-sized courts, three high-school-sized courts, four shooting bays with Shoot 360 technology. Just a cool place. Think about it for the parents and the grandparents out there. After school, these basketballers in your family are heading over, and that's what they're doing. You know, get their homework done, they go over, and they shoot hoops. Okay, you're not worried about kids. Where are they doing? What are they doing? Who are they with? They're out there playing basketball. They're having fun. They could also be doing it over in Collierville. That's the original. They don't have all the bells and whistles anymore, but they have the shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. You could become a member at both or either one, and you could do so on a monthly basis. So all the things I mentioned, the one-on-one expert coaching, the analytical feedback you get every time you step into one of these shooting bays, every time you put up a shot. They have the, especially for little kids, it's really fun. The gamification, they have these boards. I don't even know how to explain it. You have to see it for yourself, where kids are hitting targets. They're chest passes, bounce passes. They're learning with the coaches right there, and they're scoring points. They're having fun. It's a lot better than just sitting in your room on a video board, right, playing a Game Boy or whatever it is today that the kids play. You're out there and actually having fun. You're exercising. There's camaraderie with other kids out there. Why wouldn't you want to do this for your kids and grandparents, your nieces, your nephews? It just makes sense. And then do it on a monthly basis. Man, you're not bogged down with a long-term commitment. So call Shoot 360 today. In Collierville, 901-316-5500. In Cordova, 901-779-3176. Or you could stop by 85 Market Street in Collierville, Big Orange Road in Cordova. If you miss the numbers, call the station. We'll get those numbers for you. But it just makes sense to join for a month, try it out. If you like it, which I think you will, you could sign up for another month or months. Your prerogative, whatever you want to do. And if you don't like it, you're in it for a month. That's it. It's Shoot 360 Memphis. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. Hour two on the way. We open with Humdinger's Trivia. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.